And hello and welcome to Atlanta's Business Leaders here on Business Radio X. I am your host, Mike Salmon, and joining me on the debut of our brand new program here from the Subaru of Gwinnett Studios is Luis Rosas. He's a Atlanta entrepreneur, co-owner of Your Video Viewer. And hello, Luis, how you doing?
I'm doing fantastic, Mike. How about yourself?
Looking forward to this brand new show debuting today. And we've got three great business leaders here in the studio.
We do. Welcome back.
Do you know the country I was at for 3.5 weeks?
I have a hard time pronouncing it, but
Azerbaijan. For the European Games.
Yes.
I call table tennis and basketball and cycling.
Is that right?
Yeah, did my little sports thing over there. And getting back into things, got back in last night. Oh. And here we are, right back in the, you know, in the throes of things. But again, three wonderful businesses we're going to talk about today. The Nebo Agency, we have the president and co-founder, Adam Harrell, is with us. From Payscape, the chief technology officer, Doug Hardman, is here with us. And from HR Outsourcing, HROI, Tim Mitchell, the founding partner. And let's start with Adam Harrell. Hello, Adam.
Hello.
Tell me all about Nebo Agency. What do you guys do?
So we're a full-service digital agency headquartered in Midtown Atlanta. We got about 60 folks. We really focus on two core things. One is developing campaigns that help brands connect with their consumers across devices and platforms. And the other is designing and building complex digital experiences. So apps, websites, products, those type of things.
Why did you start the company? What got you involved? Tell me a little bit about your background as well.
Yeah. So I started out building sites back in the mid-90s as a little kid in North Carolina. You know, I was 15 going around downtown building websites. One of them was a company called SaveOnFurniture.com, which ended up doing in excess of $1 million a year in revenue back in the 1997. So my brother was in Atlanta, and when I graduated college, we decided to, you know, put our shingle out and try to start a digital agency. We figured we understood brand strategy. We understood the potential of the internet, and that was 11 years ago. So it's been a fun ride.
Wow. That's an amazing story. Why do you think the company has been so successful?
I think it really comes down to a couple of key things. One is making sure that you always put the end consumer first, and that, you know, a lot of people think as marketing as this mass media type approach that you need to shout your message and try to convince folks to take an action. But we really try to create things that are more engaging and interactive and that really provide value, because at the end of the day, if we can help brands keep their customers happier, then we're going to be successful.
I don't want to tell you something you don't already know, but there's a lot of competition out there.
There is.
What separates you from the other companies?
Yeah, it's a very crowded space. And when we were started, neither of us had actually ran an agency before. And, you know, you're going against some of the biggest companies in the world, Omnicom and WPP, yeah, and all these holding companies with thousands of employees. So a lot of folks told us it was a terrible idea. Luckily, we didn't listen.
You're getting the last laugh right now.
Yeah, exactly. Now we tell those guys not to buy us. So it really comes down to professional services is interesting. It's about expertise and thought leadership and the ability to execute and deliver beyond expectations get results. So everything we do, you know, is designed to actually generate results for clients. And when we measure those, it leads to a lot of loyalty. So, you know, over 50% of our business comes from referrals, which is never a bad thing.
How old of a company are you guys?
We've been around 11 years.
11 years?
Yeah.
Wow. And what prompted you to, I guess, what'd you do before this?
It's really all I've ever done, starting back to my younger years. I decided to start doing, building websites and sort of go out on my own. When I was in high school, I got a job at a Winn-Dixie because my parents believed everyone needed to start working young. So I was 14 years old and got a job at Winn-Dixie, and the store manager had asked me to clean the baseboards along the entire store. He gave me a rag and a little sprayer. So I started to do that, and then I was like, this is ridiculous. So I took apart a mop and I built like a little rig to get it done really quick, and I was done in like 15 minutes, and I brought it back and he said that was supposed to take you at least 2 hours, go back and do it again. So I turned in my notice and said I can't work for someone else, and been doing the entrepreneurial thing ever since.
I think that's wonderful. By the way, you brought back memories of when I was about 15 years old at Kroger, though.
Yeah. So, yeah. Busy work.
I wasn't as innovative as you, obviously. Talk about networking, though. How important is that? I know that's something you wanted to discuss.
Yeah. So I think there's a misconception about networking, and that's that this is that you go out and you meet people and shake hands and give business cards, but that's not really, to me, the most effective way to approach it. It's more about how can you provide value to people that are out there, and how can you do things that are interesting. So one of the things we've always done is try to create stuff that is cool and compelling, working with other folks. So I always encourage people, you know, don't go to events to try and network. Go to events to try and help put more events on. Go to events and try to join boards. Go to events and try to create your own events and do things that are interesting. Because it's way more effective to do that than, you know, just hand out business cards all day long.
Adam Harrell joining us. He is president, co-founder of Nebo Agency here on Atlanta's Business Leaders from the Subaru of Gwinnett studio. Outside of Nebo, where do you devote your time these days?
Yeah, I stay pretty busy. I'm executive director of Startup Atlanta, which is a neutral nonprofit that was created by Invest Atlanta, the Metro Atlanta Chamber, and the Entrepreneurs Organization. So I run that organization in my spare time. I also teach human-centered design at Creative Circus. Just finished up a book, and I have a toddler, so a lot of stuff to keep me busy.
Where do you see the company going? Where do you see yourself 5 years from now? I mean, maybe hopefully retired somewhere on the beach, you've got that entrepreneurship in you. I can see you building things even bigger.
We talk about 5 years, but it's really a long-term plan. I mean, for us, it's about building a business sustainably that does great work and continues to improve and that gets better every day. So we always look at it and say, how can we, you know, what are we doing today and how could we make it better? And if you focus on that, then the long-term stuff takes care of itself.
Yeah, I congratulate you on your success that you're having. You know, 11 years is a long time. I myself owned an advertising agency for 10 years here in Atlanta. So,
yeah
it's not easy.
Yeah, it can be, you know, it's a tough market sometimes, but it's fun. You know, you get in what you put out. So I wouldn't change a thing about it.
I do want to ask you this because your story to me is very interesting. How, I mean, you're very creative and obviously an entrepreneur. For that business person out there that wants to go to work for themselves, like you, I can't work for somebody else. Could you give them a couple advice or some tips perhaps?
Yeah, I think there's really two approaches you can take when you're starting a business, and you need to decide what that is really quickly, and both can work. And I think, you know, you need to decide whether you want to be a freelancer or an entrepreneur, especially if you're doing professional services. If you're a freelancer, you can sell your hourly rate, you can have a really good life, a lot of freedom, but you don't try to, you know, if you need to go into it with that idea that you're going to be a freelancer and you're going to maximize your own time and sell your own time. But if you really want to build a company, then you're going to need to reinvest everything into the company, especially if you're going to do it bootstrapping, you're not going to do venture capital route. So when you start your company, realize that if you're trying to build something, honestly, you're going to take a pay cut and you're going to reinvest all that excess capital into hiring people and getting things going. And for 5 years, you're going to probably be the lowest paid employee in your company.
In some cases, you may not get paid as well.
Yeah, exactly. You know, you got to be willing to make that sacrifice. You know, I think a lot of people are afraid of that. I also tell people, don't be afraid to start a company when you're young. Sometimes it's easier. You know, when you don't have a mortgage and a toddler and daycare and your expenses are low, it's way easier to go out and take a risk. And plus, you'll tend to have more hours to work as well. Get out there, give it a shot. You know, what's the worst that happens?
Good advice.
Adam, one last question. You know, working in a very competitive space, how challenging do you find it to get to the decision makers when you're doing what you do?
I would say it's really not that bad, but it's also because we don't really do an outbound sales approach. Everything we get's inbound. So we've designed our entire business model around inbound sales and you know, using content and thought leadership and public awareness of the brand to drive people to us who have a problem they're trying to solve. So, you know, it's usually when we're in a pitch, we're sitting across the room from the decision maker and they're being very honest about the challenges they're facing, and we're being completely honest about how they might be able to solve them.
Adam, for those that would like to find out more about your agency, give us any contact information you'd like to share, or a website where they can find out more, all that good stuff.
Yeah, go to neboagency.com to learn more about the agency. And if you're a startup entrepreneur in Atlanta, go to startupatlanta.com to learn about Startup Atlanta.
Great stuff. Adam, thank you so much for coming in and sharing your story.
Hi, you're welcome.
All right, our next guest here on Atlanta's Business Leaders. You met one. Here's another one, Doug Hardman from Payscape. Hey there, Doug. How you doing?
I am outstanding today.
Tell us all about, well, first of all, you walked in and you've got, it's like you got your, I just got back in the country after being gone for 3.5 weeks. Did you just like fly in as well?
I actually live in Cleveland, Ohio. And I come down to Atlanta every Monday morning, and I go home every Wednesday afternoon. So I'm leaving from here to the airport and then do it all again next week.
Really? Wow. That's amazing. Well, Payscape, I've heard of the company. For those that are not familiar with the company, please share what you guys do.
So Payscape is a financial technology solutions company. We provide credit card processing to businesses, large and small, all across the USA. We have offices in, I think, 14 different cities across the US right now.
All right. I'm going to ask you the same question I asked the first guest.
Okay.
Very competitive business.
Very.
What separates you from some of the others?
So there are, let's say, 300 companies in the U.S. that provide this type of credit card processing. What sets Payscape apart is we really spend a lot of time trying to help the business. It's not just about who can get you a lower rate on credit card processing. We try to focus on how we can be helpful to the business in other aspects, with website design, with their social media presence, working with their billing software and integrating to QuickBooks and just making things easier for the business owner to run their business. Look, these guys care about making pizzas or selling bagels or whatever, if they have a grapefruit stand or something like that. They don't need to be bogged down with all of the other stuff that has to go with it. So we're just trying to make things easier for the business owner.
All right. The hours and hours and hours of research I did here for the show, for having you on. EMV.
Yes.
What is that term? What does it mean?
So EMV, it means Europay, MasterCard, Visa. So this is a standard that Visa, MasterCard, American Express, Discover, everybody got together and said, here's a standard that we're going to use for a new type of credit card. So starting this year, if you've noticed, a lot of the new credit cards that you're getting have a little chip built in. So there's a microchip.
I got my first one yesterday in the mail.
That's because they have to issue them very quickly. By October of this year, everybody has to convert to the EMV standard. So merchants that don't convert to an EMV-capable terminal are subject to their own risk, instead of right now where if there's credit card fraud, the underwriter or the processor will kind of back the will insure you for that. Starting in October of this year, the merchant may be liable if they don't upgrade their equipment and take this much safer card.
I know Lewis has got a question, but I got one more, and I hope this is not a dumb question and it doesn't get you in trouble. But having just spent time in working in Europe and coming here, it seems like they're way ahead of us when it comes to the cards.
They've been way ahead of us for years.
Okay, why is that?
Well, a lot of it had to do with the infrastructure initially in Europe, where they, it's the same reason that cell phones took off in Europe before they really took off here in the U.S. They didn't have the infrastructure for wires. And phones and such. So everybody went to wireless. It made things much easier. Same type of thing in Europe. It's been called chip and PIN or chip and signature. You hear about that. You pay at the table. Instead of the waiter handing you your bill for the evening, you hand him the credit card. He goes in the back, swipes it, brings it back out. You write the tip. He takes it back again at the end of the night. In Europe, they walk up to your table with the terminal. They plug your credit card into the terminal, they hand it to you. You type in what the tip is. You type in your PIN, and then they pull the card out and hand it back to you.
Your card never leaves your site.
Never leaves
I
your
noticed
site.
That a couple
exactly.
years ago when I was overseas, and I wondered why that doesn't happen here.
It should have, and that really would have fixed a lot of the issues that we've had. It seems like every couple months you're hearing about some other large company that's had some sort of a breach with their credit card numbers. Chip and PIN or EMV is going to nearly eliminate that. Because what's going to happen is you're going to put that card into the terminal when you go to check out at whatever store you're at, and you'll put in a PIN, and then you'll pull the card out, and then that's it. So everything's encrypted from soup to nuts. It goes all the way from the processor or from the terminal all the way through the processor as an encrypted feed. So the merchant can't ever have your data. It's always a secure element inside the card.
Well, speaking of fraud, we read about it all the time. It seems to be the big story in the news. What can companies do to protect themselves from that?
Upgrade your hardware. Yeah, it's going to be by October this year is when the standard goes live for most of the United States, where a merchant that doesn't have an EMV-capable terminal and the ability to accept this type of card will be liable for breaches. So if you think about you know, what happened with TJ Maxx or you know, Home Depot, any of these companies that have these large breaches, you know, they got fined hundreds of millions of dollars that were away there. Can you imagine what that could do to a small business? Now, I'm not saying it would be hundreds of millions of dollars, but even a $10,000 or $15,000 fine could really hurt a small business. So here's a case where, you know, $1,000 worth of hardware is going to get that person to where they've got a secure element that they're able to take off the chip or off the card. They're able to process, and they won't have the liability that they have now. It'll also probably reduce their credit card rates over time.
Our guest, Doug Hardiman from Payscape, here on Atlanta's Business Leaders.
Quick question, Doug. The Apple Watch just came out.
Mm-hmm.
How does Apple Pay play into the picture?
Well, so Apple Pay was the catalyst that has needed to happen for years. So I've been saying this for 5 years now, until Apple got into the NFC game, to be able to pay with your phone, it wasn't ever going to take off. And that's exactly what ended up happening. You know, Google had their wallet for years and years, and dozens of people used it, I'm sure. But it took Apple, who sells, you know, 40 million iPhones a quarter, to really make it relevant, where they put the secure element on the phone. You can use your thumbprint. You know, it reads my thumbprint on my phone. I used it a couple hours ago at Chick-fil-A. So it was easy to use, went right through. The watch is another extension of that. I noticed you know, Adam here has one on his wrist as well. So he can link that to his iPhone. He walks up to any terminal that will take NFC, puts his wrist up to it, and it says, okay, we know that this is this person. This person has this card, and it's a secure element that processes right away. This is the future. This is what we've been what we've been hearing about and hoping for years.
Now, quick question. I saw a gentleman yesterday wearing a Android watch,
mm-hmm.
which was really amazing.
Right.
You know, does that have any future plans?
You know, I think there are Android watches and devices that do have NFC capability as well. I don't think they're as tied in as the Apple Watch is, because the entire Apple ecosystem, like, once you get into it, you can't get out of it. what's nice for really for consumers across the board is that these technologies are now coming to the forefront and people are actually starting to use them. Mm-hmm. So it's a lot different than in days past, where you had to wait for adoption to happen over a long period of time. You know, Apple selling 120 million iPhone 6s in the first year, that's a lot of people using their tech right away that have access to this technology. So it's not outside of the reach of the masses at this point.
It's amazing. Well, obviously your company, Payscape, you do credit card processing, you provide financial technology solutions and so forth. What's your relationship with banks? How does that work?
A lot of times banks will have a preferred partner that they sell credit card processing through. There are very few banks that actually do their own credit card processing. There's really only about 5 processors in the United States that will run credit card transactions right now. So it's important for you know, consumers, merchants. A lot of times merchants will just trust whoever they have their bank account to put them in touch with, you know, somebody to help them get credit card processing. So Payscape puts a lot of effort and a lot of time into making sure that we're partnering with banks so that we can extend our, you know, our outstanding customer service to the merchant. The merchants are really the ones that get the big benefit here. Having somebody that you can call on the phone and they'll answer right away, having somebody that can answer questions, having somebody that can make sure that you're, you know, not paying more than you have to for your processing or any other ancillary services that you're using. So it's become important for us and for our merchants, and we have, you know, more than 10,000 merchants in the U.S. right now that will, I would hazard a guess, any of them, if you called them today, would say, we do an outstanding job. We really focus on customer service and really focus on making sure that the merchant's happy.
Two-part question for you, Doug. Where do you see the future of the payment industry going? And secondly, do you ever see us being in a cashless society?
God, I hope so. That's music to any ISO's ears. So, you know, payments has evolved over time. You know, I've got an 8-year-old and a 6-year-old. They will probably never have a credit card. They will have some sort of a device that will automatically debit from their account somehow.
But there will still be credit.
There will still be credit cards, and there's still type of processing, but I think it's going to evolve over time.
Oh, the physical card.
Exactly.
I
think we're getting to the Internet of Things, so to speak, so that, you know, your watch talks to a credit card terminal that the credit card terminal may not exist in a few years. It might just be, you know, when my watch is next to his watch or my watch is inside of this building, you know, I can tap something there and it would know. So I think as payments evolve, I mean, 10 years ago, we were still using what we called knuckle busters. Those things that the plate that they put your card on and they put the paper down and then they rack back and forth. Yeah, it was, and you got the carbon copy. Exactly. So, you know, we've gone from not having, you know, from using those to where we are today, where we're using a watch to make a payment. You know, that's happened in less than 10 years. So I can't imagine what the next 10 years have to offer. I think it's going to be a lot of integrated services where your processing is built into your, you know, your billing software, built into your registration software, built into your, you know, home automation. Like, there are so many things that we can tie in together now that we couldn't do before. So I think that's really where the future of payments is.
I remember years ago working in the sports industry, and they talked about one day people won't have tickets. They'll just take their iPhone or their phone and they'll scan the phone. And I was like, I just could not see it. And now I go to sporting events. I go to the movies. Mm-hmm. I never, you know, print out tickets. I don't, it's we've gone to a paperless society.
And that's fantastic for a number of reasons, but you know, for what we do at Payscape, that's just the next step. And that's the type of thing that we're having a lot of fun integrating right now.
Wow. Amazing stuff. Doug, for those companies, those business leaders out there, and they want to, you know, check into your credit card services for whatever reason, they're not using your services right now, your payment services. Where can they find out more information, and plus any other contact information you want to share?
Payscape.com will have all the information you need. And again, we've got offices in 9 different states right now. We've got, I think there's 14 different offices. There's one all the way up in Cleveland, Ohio, where I live, and then we've got them scattered across the southern states down here too. So just put payscape.com and you'll be able to hear more information.
If you ever run into LeBron, please tell him hello.
I'm working on that.
Okay, great. Doug, thank you so much. Good stuff. Joining us next here on Atlanta's Business Leaders from HR Outsourcing Inc. is Tim Mitchell. Tim is the founding partner, and Tim, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Hello.
Good. Tim, tell us all about your company. What do you guys do? HR outsourcing? I would assume HR would be human resources?
Correct.
See?
Correct.
Not my first rodeo.
There you go.
Tell me what you guys do.
We are an outsourcing, HR outsourcing provider, and we're in the PEO landscape.
Another acronym.
Stands for Professional Employer Organization. So the way we outsource the HR component is we become the employer of record of all the employees at a business. So they outsource their human resources functions to us, the payroll processing, the employee benefits, the workers' comp, compliance and HR, resume search. So that's, we kind of bundle all those services together in one integrated system.
All right. I mentioned that, you know, Doug's in a very competitive business. Adam's in a very competitive business. You for sure a very competitive business, yet you're the founding partner. You started a company knowing how competitive it is. Why did you do that? What you did you feel like would make you successful?
Well, to build on what Adam said earlier, he's absolutely right. You know, the first few years, you got to be willing to reinvest in your company to get it going and be the least paid person there for several years. And but boy, it really does pay off when you get it going and you become mature. It as long as you can see past that 5-year window to get there.
So somebody told me just the other day, Tim, that as their own owner of their own company, they get to decide what 80 hours a week they want to work, and they love that.
Yeah, exactly. So. But it's fun, and it's great to be around Adam and Doug, other, you know, entrepreneurs. You know, these guys are obviously building very successful businesses, and so it's exciting to be around other entrepreneurs as well. But yeah, as long, you know, once you get past that first 5 years, it gets a lot easier.
Okay, I'm a business. And what's the first conversation we have if I seek you out? Where does the conversation begin when you're talking to prospects?
The conversation begins usually in the employee benefits area, particularly now with the ACA, the Affordable Care Act. Small businesses are being greatly impacted by this legislation, and we provide not just a compliance solution, but also a reduction in cost solution as well, because our system is unique in that we bundle all the employees of all of our clients into one master payroll, so to speak. So we have literally thousands of employees on one payroll. So when we go into a small business that has, say, 50 employees, we usually save, you know, 15% or so off their medical prices just right there on the economies of scale. So the conversation usually starts in reduction in cost, and then it goes into HR integration.
Are there certain vertical markets that you work with more than others? Are there certain size companies that you prefer?
The size companies are generally between 10 and 500 employees, you know, the small business arena. Yeah. And in terms of vertical markets, we talk to anyone, but we're more successful in the businesses that want to offer benefits to their employees.
Lewis, anytime you want to stop me, I'm stealing all the questions here.
Yeah, I know. Quick question.
But you said your throat was a little sore, so
I'm
helping.
Thank you. Roughly speaking, how many employees? Is this similar to employee leasing?
It is. Okay. It actually used to be called employee leasing in the early days, and then the term transition to professional employer organization to not confuse our service from temporary staffing.
And how many employees do y'all, you know, how many?
We have internally, we have 75 employees and 20,000.
20,000?
Yeah, cumulative with that represent all of our clients.
Wow. How many states?
We're in California. We're based in Georgia, Florida, New York, and we're going into Phoenix next month.
How do you find the new business? How do you grow your business?
We find it through, we do a lot of marketing on the internet. We find that to be very successful. Yeah. We also have outreach programs, telemarketing, that generate a lot of leads. Direct mail, still a good old-fashioned direct mail. So we kind of use a multiple strategy for marketing, and that gets down to the sales folks that, go out into the field.
Where do you see yourself in 5 years?
5 years, we want to go public.
Okay.
That's our goal.
Who owns the company now?
Private equity, and then we have some other investors.
Okay.
Just individual investors that own the company.
Do you also offer insurance, payroll?
That's right. Insurance, payroll. Workers' comp insurance, health insurance, 401k plan.
Mm-hmm. Does workers' comp scare a lot of companies these days? Because, I mean, we're in a very – people like to litigate all the time. And I would think that that's – for some companies, that is a cost that they – that will put them out of business.
It's a big cost.
Yeah.
Workers' comp and health insurance
are
probably the two biggest insurance costs for any company. And our goal is to reduce those costs considerably.
And the rules and laws always seem to be changing as well. I mean, you've got to stay on top of that.
That's exactly right. So we have a compliance team that stays on top of the changing laws. The big one right now is the Affordable Care Act. That seems to be changing every week.
Right. Yeah.
And but we're on the forefront of it, and then we consult our clients on it.
Great. Tim Mitchell joining us with HR Outsourcing here on Atlanta's Business Leaders.
Tim, for your big enterprise clients, you mentioned up to 500.
Mm-hmm.
Typically, you know, getting in front of any decision maker is tough, but especially, you know, it seems like the bigger you get, the more layers of protection you have.
That's right. Many times to get in front of those large companies, in front of a decision maker, involves a center of influence, an introduction through their current insurance broker or a consultant, and they'll bring us in. That's the way it happens a lot of times with the larger ones.
For those that are listening, they would like to find out more about your services, thinking, okay, I like this Tim guy in the radio, and maybe he could help me out. Where's the best place to find out more about your company?
HROI.com.
That's simple.
On the
HROI.com.
Website. HROI.com. We've got a lot of information about how the system works, the concept, videos to watch. If you want to get a quote, there's a simple form to complete right there on HROI.com.
Great. Tim, thank you so much for coming in. We appreciate it very much.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
All right. Big thank you to Tim Mitchell, HROI, HR Outsourcing Inc., Adam Harrell with Nebo Agency, and Doug Hardman with Payscape. And, of course, on the Business Radio X website, we'll have links to all of their websites as well, so you can get in touch with these great folks here on Atlanta's Business Leaders. And, Lewis, appreciate all your help on the inaugural show.
Absolutely. I appreciate being a part of it, and you know, welcome back again.
A big reminder that, of course, these shows are available 24/7 on businessradiox.com, so you can listen at your convenience. These shows also can be downloaded at any time from iTunes or from the Business Radio X website. So again, a big thank you, Payscape, Nebo Agency, and HROI. Until next time, Mike Salmon saying so long. We'll see you next time right here on Atlanta's Business Leaders.